The response I got to the idea that we're going to learn the Hakdama to the Sifra Ditznius was basically, what is the Sifra Ditznius? Most people have, thank God, not learned it. And I'd like to explain what it is. The photostatum in front of you is only a small portion of the Hakdama, and we're not going to learn the whole Hakdama. But on your photostatum, you're going to learn on the second page, I think it's Venerzianan. That those two paragraphs we're going to learn. But I have to be magdim a little bit of the Sifra Ditznius and why Chaim Volozhin's Hakdama was significant in its time. As you know, there's an idea of Kabbalah, of Torah Sanista. There's the revealed Torah, which we have in the form of Mishnayis and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. And then there's the hidden Torah, the Torah Sanistar, which is most famous in our generation by the Zayar and the Kisvei Ari. That's how it comes down to us, basically. Now, the mystery is, what happened with Kabbalah all the different years? If the Zayar was written by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai lived approximately 2,000 years ago. We don't find that anybody had the Zohar, to our knowledge, until the 1300s, until the late 1300s, that the Zohar became a book that was available publicly through someone named Moshe ben Aryeh, not a well-known Moses de Leon, who revealed the Sefer HaZohar. And if I would have lived in that generation, I certainly would have scoffed at it. That Reb Shimon Bar Yochai wrote this book in like 1300 years, it's been floating around, and suddenly, you're giving us the Zayar. It seems to be a very far-fetched story. So the story that goes with the Zayar is that Sifrei HaKabbalah, Torah HaNistar, is something which is not supposed to be learned by the Hamoinam, by the average person. And it was passed from Rebbeim to individual Talmidim quietly over the generations. That it came from Har Sinai, just as Torah HaNigla came. And it was passed quietly from Rebbe to Talmid, for many generations. And then, for whatever reason that the heavens saw fit in the 1300s, it came out publicly, it was revealed. The Zayar is as much a hidden book today as it was before 1300, because most people don't know how to read the Zayar, though we're going to learn in Yitzhak Hashem, if not today, the next time, how the Gra's reference to most people who think they understand the Zayar. Be that as it may, this is the story the way it's come down to us. The Sifra Ditznius is the book before the Zayar. If the Zayar was revealed to us in 1300, and we ask, where was it till then? If Reb Shimon Bar Yochai wrote it in about the year 50, 70, in the Common Era, so where was it till then? Where was it all? So the Sifra Ditznius, Sifra Ditznius, is that book of Kabbalah. Reb Chaim Volozhin calls it Rishayne Rishaynim. It goes back to the time at least of the Nevi'im. And it was the book that was handed down from Rebbe to Talmud. And it was kept as sort of a secret book. And the only sort of pirish we have on it is the Arizal, which Reb Chaim Volozhin refers to, wrote a small amount of commentary on the first two chapters. There are five chapters in Sifra Ditznius. And the Gra wrote a pirish on the entire Sifra Ditznius from one end to the other. He writes, Mokim hinichuli. From heaven, they gave me the opportunity, they left me the opportunity to write this. The reason is, what?
Do we know who wrote the Sifra Ditznius?
We don't know the name of the one. We only know that it's far earlier than Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Zayar quotes it. The Zayar quotes an abbreviation, which he refers to here in his writing, of Tzinius de Sifra, it calls it.
There's no other outside reference to it.
Excuse me?
Shas made by those.
No, of course, a Shas. In any Torah HaNigla, there's no reference. So basically, from a historical perspective, when the Zayar first was revealed, there were skeptics. There are probably still skeptics today, although the G'dayli Olam, specifically the Gra, who authenticated the writings, the Zayar, basically have given it the widespread acceptance that it has everywhere. Well, a lot of the things we do, we don't even know it, are based on Zayar. Things like washing Negelwasser in the morning, and the manner in which we do, the halachas which we do, are based on Zayar, the idea of not walking without washing. I think the bracha ha'naisein la'yoyif kayach, which most Jews make as part of the brachas in the morning, has no source in Shas, has a source in Zayar. The observance of Hashanah Rabbah is more than a chalamayed. Has no source in Shas, other than the fact that it was a day of celebration. But calling Hashanah Rabbah Yom HaDin has a source only in the Zayar. Now today, Mishnah Berurah brings it. It's something which is accepted in Klal Yisrael, because the Zayar was accepted in Klal Yisrael. Historically, three great figures that sort of served to validate the Zayar. The first is the Ramban. The Ramban, the Chidah says, never saw the Zayar, to our knowledge. I don't know what he did secretly. But the Ramban, throughout his Pirish and Chumash, refers to the Seidus HaTorah and Kabbalistic ideas. And the ideas that the Ramban writes are ideas that are found, for the most part, in the Zayar. So the first was the Ramban, who lived just before the time that the Zayar was revealed. The second was the Arizal who lived in Sfas in the 1500s. The Arizal is from the products of the Girish of Spain. He lived in Egypt, and then later on moved to Sfas, and he died a relatively young man. But had a tremendous hashpa in Sfas. And what's interesting about the Arizal is that the Ashkenazim write that he's a Sfaradi, and the Sfaradim write that he's an Ashkenazi. Usually it's the other way around. Everyone holds him to be, the Chidor writes that the Ari was an Ashkenazi. The Sam Sefer writes that he was a Sfaradi. So his name was Ashkenazi. They're playing Sfaradim with such names. So the Arizal, I mean, the whole Arizal is shrouded in secrecy. What we have from the Arizal written is from Reb Chaim Vital, his Talmud. Reb Chaim Vital accompanied the Arizal for less than 2 years, for let's say a year and 8 months. In those 20 months, he wrote everything he saw by the Arizal. For example, it's written that we don't know anything about Shemitah al Piari, because Reb Chaim Vital wasn't with him for a Shemitah year. So basically what we have is from Reb Chaim Vital. It's an encyclopedia of information, but it comes from there. And the third is the Gra. The Gra wrote a Pirish on the Zayar, wrote a Pirish on the Sefer Ditzniusa. Those three basically gave the authority to the Zayar that we have today, despite the fact that certainly there was initial skepticism about it, and unfortunately, a lot of the Kabbalistic ideas that are thrown around today are also in error. The Ben Ish Chai, who himself was a great man, is an understatement. The Ben Ish Chai writes that he never read a Zayar and based any decision on it. He says, "I don't know how to learn Zayar. If you see me quoting the Zayar, it's because others greater than me, like the Arizal, quotes the Zayar and explains it." Others quote the Zayar and explain it. But the Ben Ish Chai writes in the Nakdama to one of his Tshuvas Svarim that he doesn't know how to learn Zayar. Today, there are plenty of people who think they know how to learn Zayar, but they don't know. There's an astounding quote from the Gra. I'm really getting ahead of myself, but it's hard to hold it back. The Gra says that many write that there are disputes between Chochmas HaKabbalah and Chochmas HaNigla. So the Mishnah Berurah says, whatever, there's a dispute between Chochmas HaNigla and Chochmas HaNista, halachi is like Chochmas HaNigla. The Gra, and there's a quote here from the Gra's Pirish on the Zayar. It's actually Reb Chaim Volozhin quoting the Gra. He says, Ashamargala bapuma de inchi. This is what people say. Shabbaezadin mukhulakim Chochmas HaNista and Chochmas HaNigla. There's some place where there's a machlaikis between Kabbalah and Halacha. It's because people don't understand the Zayah when they read it. It says it can't be. So be that as it may, like one of the things I once in Sunda Chacham Tzvi, people say there's a machlokes nigla in Nistar, if you're allowed to skip Sukkot Dezimra to get to Tefillah B'Tzibur. We know the Torah said nigla, the Shulchan Aruch says you can skip if you come late, or if the minyan is very fast, then you're not going to make it to Shmoneh Esrei with them, you're allowed to skip portions of most of Pesukei Dezimra. So the Chacham Tzvi writes that it is common understanding that the Zohar argues. The Zohar explains the tikkunim, what is accomplished by each step of Torah Sanhedrin, of Pesukei Dezimra, and it's understood that it's saying that you can't skip it. And the Chacham Tzvi writes that that's a mistake. It's because someone learned that part of Zohar and not elsewhere in Zohar. He talks about Tefillah B'Tzibur, and his description of the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur is stronger than his description of the benefit of not missing any part of Pesukei Dezimra. So that's an example, I guess, of what this is referring to. Okay, the piece we're going to learn, V'nechzi Anan, which is the second page in your copy, is where Reb Chaim Volozhin is writing here, where he sort of validates or explains the way that the Zohar came to be. He's giving an explanation to us ordinary folk, an understanding of the way the Zohar came to be. V'nechzi Anan, he says, let us see. K'may b'inyan ha-niglois sh'v'Torah HaKadosha, just as in the nigla part of Torah, sh'dairis ha-rishayinim ha'isam mishnasam sedura lehem, Tav Kuf Sidrei Mishnah. 900, not Mesechtes, Sidarim of Mishnayis. Right, we have 6. Nine, imagine you wanted to finish the Sidrei Mishnah for the Yard site, it would take a very long time. Tav Kuf Sidrei Mishnah, originally. Kshabar Rabbeinu HaKadosh, V'ra'a V'Haven, when Rebbe came and he understood, Ki B'Tekef HaGolos HaChel HaZeh, Hen Gavadu HaVadnu Torah Shabbat Pech HaSru Shalom. There's no way we can handle 900 different Sidrei Mishnayis. We don't have the energy to go through such length. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh did great things to Torah Shabbat Peh, Basifas Chach Midai, right? Gathering, it doesn't mean to make gathering of the people, but gathering of the quotes of the Tanoim. And the Tanoim stood on what they had passed down from the earlier generations. So Rebbe gave us Mishnayis that will help us without that great length. So that he put everything into the Mishnah. It's interesting that there's an Igeres or Shriya Gain. One of the later Gainim wrote a letter which describes the Messiah, the way the Messiah evolved. And it's interesting that there are two versions of certain segments of his letter. And there's a machlokes between the Sephardic version and the Ashkenazic version. If it should say Rebbe wrote the Mishnayis or Rebbe organized the Mishnayis. The question is, did the Sidrei Mishnah exist and Rebbe just formulated them into a Seder? Or did the Sidrei Mishnah were just a bunch of pieces of information and Rebbe actually took a pen and Parker, no doubt, and wrote them down in order? So here it's sort of an in-between. He's saying is that there were Mishnayis that were Sidures beforehand, 900 Sidarim. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh not only condensed them, but he put hints, like a midi min adlo, mizi bin masnisen. He hinted to all the dinim in the Mishnayis. V'kasha shuv chaz ara, d'shavka kuli alma masnisen, v'azdu basa gemara. As the generations went on, people left Mishnayis to learn mostly gemara, hada darish lu. So Rabbi taught, lo ilam have a ratz la Mishnah, that look for everything in the Mishnayis. Afa meirohim, the main job was learning Mishnayis. And by asking contradictions between Mishnahs and Brises, one with the other, they understood, and they would grind it, to squeeze out all the ideas, Baruch Ramas v'masnis nashbayinu by bina v'haisa ar l'nesivase, l'nesivasam. So he's saying is that the Mishnayis developed in a way that became usable. The tuf kuf sidre Mishnah were not usable for us. And it should be obvious to everybody that there were more Mishnayis. Because, for example, the mitzvah of tefillin is almost not mentioned anywhere in Mishnayis. I don't say anywhere that you have to put on tefillin every day. There's a Mishnah, Menachis, that says that tefillin shel yad is not ma'akiv on tefillin shel reish. The Mishnah says you only have one, put one on without the other. But that's the extent of the mention of tefillin in Mishnayis. It doesn't say that they're boxes, it doesn't say they have parashias in them, etc. So that the Mishnayis is sort of a condensed version of a lot more. Now obviously he's going to compare that to the Zohar and the Sefer Tznius.
So when you have, let's say, a machlokas between Hillel and Shammai, are they the ones that are introducing that, or did they get it from back before, if this is all a condensation?
The machlokas, and we understand that the machlokas that existed before Hillel and Shammai were all decided by the Sanhedrin. There's a Gemara that says, that Yerushalmi, that Tosfos brings, it says there was no machlokas till Hillel v'Shammai, although it doesn't mean there was no machlokas. The Gemara says there was no machlokas in the time of David HaMelech, but it means there was always a Sanhedrin, a central authority that ruled. And starting with Hillel and Shammai, the dispersal of the Jews, even though Hillel was 100 years before the Churban, but the dispersal of the Jews, even in the Bayis Sheni, the Jews were dispersed, there was no central authority, so that the machlokas that come to us basically start from Hillel. Start from 100 years before the Churban. Okay, now he is v'achreiyam bali asufis r'b'seiru agadaylam achar chasimus haTalmud. So you have Mishnayis and Gemara. Then after the Talmud was sealed, asher nistam kol chazayim v'ningdes ha'or ba'adeinu lavan alahiris midateinu, we're now limited in our understanding of Teres HaNigla to what we have in Mishnayis and Brisis and Gemara. V'neam ro shebekoyvel agolis asher lihunach lonu nismatu ha'yeshivis. They saw that nowadays, nismatwa yeshivais, it doesn't refer to institutions, it refers to the people who are able to sit in Harava and work on a sugya for a long time. Uma'atem b'nei aliyah ashotem b'yam ha-talmudim. And there are few b'nei aliyah who can go swim in the ocean of the two talmuds. Limtsai bayas kala masa shiasim. L'zaisisayru l'chabi chiburim e'alochis merubais. Next step was the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch books, of halachas lahiris lachinu b'nei Yisrael sederach yechuba samaster yasun chen kol dar v'chacham mehem yiru v'chen yasu chibru chiburim at orach hashulcha. It's very interesting, the language. He says, Rechayim Elojah says, they wrote books until the orach hashulcha. Now, I suspect that Rechayim Elojah never saw the orach hashulcha, because the orach hashulcha was written not that long after his death, about within a century after his death. But he means until they set up a Shulchan Aruch. Kol prati v'diduki adinim lechol l'saiva. So you can eat Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan's a table, so you can easily get the halachas. Amnam kol divrei kachem heima haselas nikiya. When you take a Shulchan Aruch, that's not the whole Torah. All that is the fine flour, ashechafrua karua mayanis naivim, that were dug and brought up from well springs that bring forth water. Every halacha in Shulchan Aruch has some either open or a hidden source in Mishnayis. The Shulchan Aruch gives you the way to act. Because the paskin halacha is, you're really supposed to paskin from the Shas. The ideal way is you learn the Shulchan Aruch who reminds you of the Gemara. And those who understand with a good understanding, they go alright, so this is Teres HaNigla. Now we'll learn next time is Kein Doi Mina. He's going to say the same thing, just as it evolved from the tremendous wealth of Torah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch. He's going to say the same thing is true about the Sefer Tznius, this book of it's called Tznius, not because it deals with hemlines, but because it's a book of hidden parts of Torah. And that's what the reference to the Tznius is.